Joining the announcements that's already been made, and thank you for coming. We're glad to see you, and we're glad that you chose the better part of assembling with the saints to hear the value of God's word. We are his. You is his. I is his. God sees us as belonging to him. That's God's perspective. And it's a very important thought for each of us to think about our identity, how God sees us in belonging to him. It will in a lot of ways determine how we live our life while we're here on earth. It sometimes rains on the just and the unjust, and the sun shineth on the evil and upon the good. Many of you, like me, have been watching the world news and the latest things that have been taking place. Most recently, hot lava and volcanoes in Hawaii and hurricanes that pushed over 150 mile an hour winds and large amounts of rain in the state of Florida. 11 or 12 months before that, there was events that were taking place in a half a world away over in Ukraine. We can't even pretend to understand why President Putin would ever want to invade and destroy his neighboring country. You, like me, have heard discussions about his mindset and his malignant spirit and how anyone could ever want to do the things that he's done. The many images that we can see while we're watching the world news is sobering and severe. Images of tornadoes and hurricanes and wars and troops and invading sovereign land and citizens trying to defend their homelands and family, soldiers fighting for their country, housing being destroyed, a country that is being ravaged by war, citizens fleeing to other places, fleeing their lands that they was raised in. Over 1 million refugees has traveled to surrounding countries of Ukraine, and lives were forever and ever changed. Can we imagine just for a minute someone knocking on our door and telling us that we need to pack up whatever we can carry on our back and we must leave our homes now? And chances are we would never see our home again. Those thoughts are frightening. And there's Christians over in Russia and there's Christians in Ukraine that wanted nothing to do with that war, but they were caught right up in the middle of it. Christians like us who had to leave their family, not knowing whether they would ever see him again. And there's no doubt that there's been a lot of people watching the images of the news of hurricanes and wars and wondering why God would ever allow such a thing to happen. They probably asked the question, surely God can keep this from taking place. Why would he ever allow things like that to happen to good people, lives, and property? If you have your Bibles, Luke 13. Luke 13, beginning with verse 1. There were present at the season some that told of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, ye suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they had suffered such things? I tell you no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. 95 words. Those words is powerful words. They're interesting words. And there's a lot about those words that we don't understand. There's a lot about those words that we don't know. There's much about the context that we don't know. But we do know that in this passage, there's melded together a moral disaster and a natural disaster. The moral disaster is that blood was shed, just like blood being shed in the Ukrainian war. There's been blood shed here in the United States with terrorist attacks. And so in this passage, in Luke 13, there's a moral disaster and there's a natural disaster. We're no strangers to that. Just a few weeks ago, right here in this little town up on Main Street, near a diner, there was a building that come tumbling down. But we've seen beautiful lands and coastlines in the state of Florida and that's been devastated by flooding, and over $70 billion worth of damage was done. And so here in Luke 13, we have moral disasters and we have natural disasters that are melded together. It teaches us what we already know, and that is our world is very unpredictable. As the war in Ukraine had not yet started, folks thought it would pass. Nothing would ever become of it. Or the hurricane down in Florida. It won't be as bad as the forecast predicts. Or like in Matthew 24 and 38 reports, for as the days were before the flood that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You see, all but 8 people thought life was going to continue on the same, and what a big mistake they made in thinking that there would be another month, let alone another day. Noah preached what God said and did what God commanded, but no one listened. Many were lost and lost forever. And there's going to be a great day when Jesus returns, and many will wonder if it's going to be a regular day. Is it going to be a regular day that starts out like every day, hurrying off to work, errands to run, get up early and get to the deer blind, things to do, just another day? The Apostle Paul said, but then everything changes. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh within, like within a thief of a night. The sky will be filled with angels, a loud sound, everything's going to stop. Nothing else is going to matter. Jesus will be seen in the sky. Some will be scared. Others will be crying with joy and love because they've been obedient to the Lord and they've waited for that day for a long, long time. He has finally returned, we will sing. Today is the day. But as we think about this passage in Luke 13, they were in a very safe kind of setting. They were offering sacrifices to God. people were standing near a tower. There's nothing threatening about that. But the point is, life is never really safe, is it? In the story of Luke 13, people are worshiping God, making sacrifices to God. What safer place could there be? Well, there could be safer places, even here in the United States. We have seen individuals doing what we're doing right now, worshiping God, singing to God, praising to God, and there's come death and devastation. And there's a reason we must be cautious in our assembly. And I would encourage each of you to thank those men who sat in the foyer and watch our backs. Or in Luke 13, standing next to a tower that was built in part of a defense for a city. What safer place could there be? This story reminds us that life is never really safe, and death is unavoidably sure. We have heard it said that time is undefeated. That is to say, unless the Lord comes back, you and I will die, and time will move on without us. And all this reminds us that we have no idea what's going to happen in the following year, let alone this afternoon. For that matter, what can we do? We can fill our lives with safety and security and stuff, and it can all be gone within a moment. The Hebrew writer said it is appointed to the man once to die, and after that comes the judgment. And we don't think that God intends for us to be fatalist every day, but he does want us to be realist. Our houses, our jobs, our bank accounts guarantee us nothing against this world. There's a reason that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it's better to go into the house of mourning rather than the house of feasting, because the living will lay it to heart that this is the end of all men. This is the end of all men. Life is never safe, and death is unavoidably sure. The fact of the matter is that each one of us know for certain that the war in Ukraine reminds us of all what we know so well, and that is our world is broken. We all know that. But the odd part that we read in Luke 13, the part that puzzles us the most, is why did Jesus say what he did in verses 2 and verses 3? If you have your Bibles. So in Luke 13, beginning in verse 2, do you suppose, ye, that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? Verse 3, I tell you no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What in the world did Jesus mean by that? Now we have to be very careful here, because the text in Luke 13 makes it crystal clear that the devastating events that occurred were not related to the sinfulness on the part of those who was suffering. Jesus makes that clear. In Luke 13, he's speaking to the same kind of people that asked the question in John chapter 9 about a man who was born blind. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one. But the point is that both people suffered, but it's not in a direct result of their sinfulness. Sometimes we do suffer. We suffer from our free will of wrong behavior, but not here in Luke 13. So why did Jesus talk about the penalty of sin? We can't miss this. This great passage is clearly saying that the tragedy was not a result of sin, but a result of the presence of sin in the world. Let me say that again. This great passage makes it crystal clear that the tragedy was not a result of personal sin, but was a result of the presence of sin in the world. The war in Ukraine is not a result of personal sin, but it is a result of the presence of sin in a fallen world. And so in Luke 13, Jesus said, "Look, unless you repent, you likewise will perish." Our sin is universal. Unless you repent, because all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. Our sin is universal, and the penalty is universal. You will all likewise perish, and the point he's making is that you will perish with a death that is far worse than the victims of a tower or the victims of a war that could ever experience. Because the fact is, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. The result is the perfection of God's creation has been marred. It's been stained with disease and death and floods and fires and wars and terrorist events. But we must realize, brethren, as long as there's sin in the world, there's going to be suffering in the world and there's going to be death in the world. And we have Adam and Eve to thank for that. You say, "Well, that's not fair." Well, you're right about that, but it wasn't fair to God either. So then what should our response be? Well, in verse 3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall perish." And in case we didn't get that, he says it again in verse number 5. "And I say unto you, again, unless ye repent, ye shall perish." And that's the conclusion that Jesus draws from this story. Let's think about it. It's not just those who are devastated. It's in the middle of a war. But it's each of us who has been watching and witnessing and relating to the terrible incidents that's been taking place on the news. Jesus is saying to us, what should your response be? If we are thinking in the context of Luke 13 about the Galileans worshiping God and being slaughtered, or a tower that fell and killed innocent people, while we're watching the events of a war a half a world away and seeing the devastation, or a tornado, Jesus says to us, what should your response be? You need to repent. Why? Why, Lord? Why do I need to repent? What do I need to repent about that for? You see, in Luke chapter 13, Jesus draws a conclusion that it would be like if Jesus was here on earth with us today and saying to Jesus, "Let me tell you about the pandemic we've been living in, Lord, or let me tell you about the war that's been taking place over in Ukraine, or let me tell you about terrorist attack, or let me tell you about the natural disasters like tornadoes, and Lord, let me tell you about the hurricane down in Florida." And Jesus' response would be, "Well, let me tell you what you ought to do about that." Have you ever thought about the fact in Luke 13, and think about this carefully, Luke 13 would have been the perfect place if Jesus ever wanted to give a reason why bad things sometimes happen to good people. This would have been the place to put it in. This teaching would have been the place. Jesus could have said, "Look, that raises an interesting point. I know that now, from now on, that people's going to be wanting to know why do bad things happen to good people. And where's the Father in all this? Where's God in all this?" And this would have been the perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, "Well, you know what? Let me explain this to you. Let me give you a 3-point answer to this." But he doesn't say anything like that. What he says is, "You need to repent." He doesn't say anything about why bad things sometimes happen to good people. He just says, "You need to repent." His response was, "You need to repent and turn from sin. Turn from sin. See the effect of sin in the world in such a way it causes you to hate the sin so much more." And he said turn from sin, see the effect of sin in the world in such a way that causes us to hate the sin all the more. Do we need a practical illustration of that? If we're on our computer and we was reading some news and reading all about the devastations of the war, or looking at pictures of the devastations of tornadoes and senseless actions of wars, and go over and click on something sinful right after we are reading those about those events, or if we've been at the coffee shop and we've been talking to somebody and talking about the devastation and all the bad events that been taking place, and then immediately start gossiping behind somebody's back, we've just missed the point. We've just embraced the sin that caused the ruin in the world. But here, before the conversation is ended, while we are we start gossiping before the conversation is ended about somebody, we've just missed the point. We've embraced the sinfulness that results in a fallen world. Unless we repent, we will perish. And please don't look at the devastating effects of war or terrorism or natural disasters without remembering and hating the sin all the much more. Jesus in Luke 13 is saying, look, people are suffering. God knows all about this. But here's the bottom line. Are you right with God? Are you at this very moment right with God? Not the person next to you, not the person at the end of the pew, not the person you know down at the coffee shop in a casual kind of way, not the person speaking to you, but you. Jesus says, how about you? Are you flirting with sin in your life? Are you right with God? If you're not, you need to repent. Have you grown cold in your faithfulness in serving the Lord? If you have, you need to repent. And remember, Luke 13, 1 through 5, grows out of the soul of Luke chapter 12, where Jesus tells a story about a servant and his master, not knowing when his master would return. So the servant makes double sure that he has prepared everything for when his master returns. And it's out of that soil that grows the teaching of Luke 13. The overall picture is to be ready. There's three truths that come out of this lesson. Number one, life is fleeting. James said it's a vapor. Life is fleeting. People are perishing. People are lost without God. 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost. That's what Jesus said. You too will likewise perish. People are perishing. That's not just church talk. Children are perishing. Parents are perishing. Neighbors are perishing. Countless people are perishing. And do we really believe what the Bible says about our role in all this? Or are we just playing games with God on Sunday? Lesson number three, eternity is coming. Life is fleeting, people are perishing, and eternity is coming. Eternity is plainly taught in the Bible that those who do not obey God while here on earth, before they exit this life, are lost. Forever and forever and forever. So one more thing, and the lesson's yours. Again, James asks, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. All things equal, on December the 4th, 2023, 1 year from today, there will be members of the church that will no longer be with us. And by the same token, there will be members that will still be alive 70 to 80 years from now. But in the eternal scheme of things, those who will die 1 week from today or in the next 70 or 80 years, in the eternal scheme of things, there is just about that much difference. So what are the implications of that to each of us that are Christians? Well, Paul said it this way. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril, or sword? Or maybe we can say in today's world, shall war, terrorist attack, tornadoes, hurricanes, cancer, school shootings, COVID, heart disease, can these separate us from the love of God? And his answer was, in all these things we abundantly conquer. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Christ the Lord. When the world seems to be broken and crashing and crumbling at the seams, that, brothers and sisters, is something to stand on. We need to be telling people to flee to the cross and take their cover in Christ, because eternity's coming and people we know, people who we love, will die and lose their souls unless we take very seriously the work of warning. Won't you please come and take your cover in Christ now as we stand and sing.